We've been speaking these last several weeks about, what is it about a baby? Then the next week we talked about, what is it about this boy? 12-year-old boy in a temple asking questions, playing stump the professors as he had such a heart for God. Then we spoke last week about, what is it about this young man or about this man, Jesus? This morning, we're going to ask the question, what is it about Jesus Christ? Now, you understand that Christ isn't his last name. It's Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Messiah in the Greek and in the Hebrew, the Messiah, the anointed one who came to bring us life. What is it about Jesus Christ? Why did he come? We've all learned about the babe in the manger, the stone trough. We know he was born probably in August or September of the year. We understand that, but we are joining in with the celebration because any day the world is willing to stop at least a little and recognize Jesus Christ is a day we're going to jump in and celebrate, right? Because he is so good. But do you really know why he came? And what I'm going to do this morning is give an opportunity to see out of his own words why did he say he came? What is it about Jesus? Why did he come? Number one, to do God's will and redeem us. How many are glad you're redeemed this morning? I'm redeemed. I'm glad. And John 6, got a lot of scripture this morning. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Watch, for I have come. His own words, right? His own words. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6, verses 39 and 40. This is the will of the Father. All right, I've come to do the will of God. What is that will? What is the will that he wants accomplished? This is the will of the Father. And we'll go do that song at the end. Okay? This is the will of the Father. I'm sorry, you guys. Look at me. Yeah, we had this plan and Kev forgot. Okay. Thank you. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have, say it with me, please, everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. How many thank God you're going to be raised up to see Jesus at the last day? Face to face, eye to eye. You're going to see him as he is. You'll know him as he is. All these days and times and years of wondering what he was really like. And you read the scripture, what really happened? And all those questions you had that you wanted to ask Jesus, you're going to see him face to face. And when you do, you'll probably forget all your questions. But if you have them, they'll all be answered. God is calling us today. He came to call us, to redeem us, and to do the will of God. John 4:34 tells us, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You remember Jesus did the will of the Father, and his will was to do God's will and pleasing God. And it was more important than food itself. Remember, he hadn't eaten, and he's sitting at a well, and he talks to a woman and leads her basically to salvation. The other guys come up and say, well, aren't you hungry? He goes, hey, you know, this is the will of God is my food, is my bread, doing that will. In John 17, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, knowing he was nearly finished with everything. He's at the end. And he says in John 17, 4 and 5, I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He came to do the will of the Lord. And the will of the Father was to redeem us, to buy us, to redeem us and get us free from sin, to take us back into the presence of God. What is it about Jesus Christ that we so love? What else did he come to do? He says, I came to bring the truth of God. Number one, I came to do God's will. He says it himself. That was my purpose, to do God's will and to redeem people. Number two, to bring the truth of God. John 18 declares in verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am, because I am a king for this cause." Remember, he says it about himself. We're going to take a look this morning. What is it he says about himself? Christmas is the time to celebrate Jesus. What is it about Jesus Christ? "For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice." Jesus came to speak the word of God. He's standing before Pilate at his mock trial. Basically, you know, Pilate's trapped. His wife sends him a message. "Don't do anything with this guy. I've had a terrible dream because of him." And he knows the religious leaders have turned him over because they're jealous. And he really hasn't done anything wrong. And these religious leaders are a bunch of hypocrites. But Pilate is too afraid to stand and do the right thing. How many know that's the case in America today and all around the world in some spots where it really comes down to it? If they're holding a gun to your head, if they're saying, "Are you a Christian or not?" Will you say, "Yes, I am"? And Pilate knew, it looks like in the scripture, at least in some measure, that he shouldn't condemn this man to die. He tried to spare his life, but he didn't stand strong enough. Are we afraid to stand for truth and righteousness? No. We've got to take a stand. Going to Vietnam, took a stand. Going to other places around the earth. That doesn't mean you're foolish in what you do, but we share the gospel of Jesus and the good news with those who need him. Jesus answers Pilate with the reality of his purpose and his stated destiny. "To this end I was born. Even for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that's of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate cynically says to him, say it with me, would you? What'd he say? What is truth? Isn't that the question of the day? Come on, guys, isn't that the question of the day? Because everybody's got your truth and my truth, and all of us have the truth, so help me God, but that's not true. Isn't that right? Man, everybody thinks they've got their own. Many, many years ago, John MacArthur, some of you may know him. John MacArthur is Grace to You and Grace Church, etc. Long, long time Bible teacher. And many, many years ago, I was reading an article about him, and he was saying that this whole issue of truth, he called the L.A. Public Library, the county library, to find out how much, now this is a long time ago, but get a load of this, how much there was being offered as truth of one sort or another. And they told him at that time, 3.5 million books in the county public libraries, 113 billion words approximately declaring themselves as truth, 1,350 volumes new processed every single day, 2,000 to 3,000 printed books every minute in the United States, and it's only astronomically, exponentially grown since that time. What is truth? Church, did you bring your Bible with you this morning? There's the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life." Jesus fulfilled 300 direct prophecies and fulfilled when he was birthed as a baby, becoming our Messiah. That is a human incredibility, astronomical impossibility to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. This word, thy word, the Bible says, is truth, and you can bank on it. More words doesn't mean more truth. Someone say amen?
Amen.
But see, 2 Timothy tells us people are always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's our present day. And they used to transfer the written word to microfilm, remember? And then microfiche. Remember? Anybody remember microfiche? Yeah. The younger generation, good thing I'm with who I'm with. Younger generation go, "Well, what kind of fishing are you talking about?" And then crystals were shot by a laser beam, and they refracted it up on a screen, and a screen. And then molecular storage came so they could put the entire Library of Congress on an object the size of a sugar cube, and now far more than that, on the object far smaller, the size of a little dot. Now you've got the Internet of Things, overwhelming data. But more words doesn't mean more truth. turn to each other and say, now shut up. No, don't say that. Don't say it. No, turn to each other and say, keep talking. You're telling me the truth. Go ahead. Keep talking. You're telling me the truth. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You and I can take the Word of God and we can bank on it. We can open it up and it is absolute truth. Now, we do our best to interpret it as best as we can. Interpreters make problems. Interpreters have problems, but not the Word of God. The Word of God is true. I was watching Josh McDowell just the other day again on a fresh thing on CBN talking about how fully at least half of the Bible has been able to be proven true just by archaeological studies and the digs that have been done. Even in the last 10, 15 years, more and more and more things people would scoff, they're now proven true just by the heritage and the things that are scientifically discovered. Jesus said to Pilate, I came to speak the truth of God. If you were of God, you would listen. Church, let's pay attention. Let's listen. Come on, say it with me. I will listen. What is it about Jesus Christ? He came to sum up the law of God. Jesus was talking to people literally bound by the Pharisaical code. We've talked about it before. God had a purpose in mind when the whole Mosaic law and all the laws were released. And its purpose in mind was not to make men try to keep them, but to show us that we couldn't and that we needed a Savior. Are you tracking with me? You understand? John MacArthur in that same article said this. Let's see if I can get it. The purpose of the law was to break the back of men. Isn't that powerful? The purpose of the law was to break the back of men. God wants our eyes open to see that we're sinners who need to be saved by grace. We can't keep this stuff on our own. How many are in the room this morning are perfect? Okay, now turn to each other and say, I'm really disappointed in you. It's all about coming to Jesus and finding out we need His forgiveness. We need His help. We can't do this stuff. So we call out to God as sinners who are saved by grace. And our hearts burn with thanksgiving. What better message could you hear on Christmas morning than to understand Jesus Christ came to save sinners and I'm one and I'm forgiven and I'm grateful. How about you? Come on, Merry Christmas, everybody. The message is I'm forgiven, I'm set free, I've got life. Isn't that good news? And we got the freedom to share it, to shout it, to rejoice in it. You want to participate a little more this morning? Shake each other, say, that's good news. Go ahead, shake each other. That's good news. But see, in the Old Testament, they would bring an offering. And that trespass offering was their admission. They're saying, I can't do it, Lord. And so I blew it and I fall on your mercy. But not the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't want to have to come to God that way. The Pharisees came up with 600 more laws, rules, and regulations. And their whole attitude was, we got to work on these things and we'll prove that we can do it. 365 negative commands, 250 positive commands, all of them external. Just keep these. You're okay. I can't remember five of them, much less 600 of them. Are you kidding me? What's it all about? You don't need to fall on the mercy of God. You just need to keep the prescription. You don't need to plead for the grace of God. You don't need a Messiah, especially not this one. They try to establish their own righteousness. You don't have to raise your hands, but I hope, like me, you have discovered you can't keep your own righteousness good enough. I hope you've come to an end of yourself. It doesn't mean we don't walk with Him and cooperate with Him and do our best. But I hope you've come to an end of yourself to discover that the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Today people can do everything they can do and they will try to do everything they can do to keep from falling on their knees. But the Christmas truth, what is it about Jesus Christ? The Christmas truth is that Jesus bore your sins and my sins. And he died on a cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he was buried and he rose again for initial and ongoing forgiveness. Because the scripture says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But now, see, Jesus comes along with this loving message, you see, and maybe people start to think, and we know they started to think, well, maybe he's going to take this burden off of us. Now watch, he's going to take this burden off of us and free us from having to do all these things, and that sounds right. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said, and then I'll tell you, and we'll get to why he said it. Watch it, Matthew 5, 17 to 19. Don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. Till heaven and earth pass, one dot and one title or tittle shall in no way pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. Whoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever shall do and teach them in the same shall be called greatest. Shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness, now watch, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall, excuse me, in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, did you see that? If you were paying attention, what would your answer be at that moment? I'm lost. I got no chance. And that's the point. If you think that you can get right with God, Jesus was saying, by doing all these things the Pharisees are saying, if you think you can do it, you'd better do more than what these guys are saying or doing, because they're not cutting it. They still weren't ready or needy enough to come to Jesus. And that's why he said it. They were dealing with externals. But Jesus says, I say unto you, you know, the Bible says, don't kill. I tell you, don't hate. The Bible says, don't commit adultery. I say, don't lust when you look on a woman. It goes deeper than what you think. It goes in so you can see that you need Jesus. Come on, say it with me. I need Jesus. It goes deeper than what you think. Number four, he says, I came to shine the light of God. John 12, 46, I've come as a light into the world, shining all over you, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. How many know that if and when you sin, you never wanted to do it right out in the light, right? Come on, were any of you ever teenagers? I think I'm in the right group. Any of you? Any of you ever pass through your teenage years? Any of you ever pass out in your teenage years? Thank God you made it through your teenage years. Did you always do every activity right out in front of mom and dad? Oh, come on, don't be so religious with me this morning. Did you always want mom and dad to see everything you were doing? Why? Because men love to live in darkness. Truth is in the light. Sin is in the darkness. And Jesus said, I come like a big old beacon to shine the light on you. Because out of grace and kindness, if you see what you're doing, you'll see your need for me. It's not bad news, it's good news. If you'll let me shine that light, my light and grace on that dark area, you'll see how much you need me. Sherry started feeling like some of you might be going through some illness, some issues. And we turned to one another and we recognized the symptoms. And so we took some steps to treat that which would help her get better. Isn't that what we do in our lives all the time? And Jesus comes along, he says, I come as a light and to the world. Because if you'll abide in me, you won't have darkness. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And you remember, Jesus is in the temple court of the women, and a 75-foot tall candelabra burns at the feast and the feast of lights. And Jesus stands up in that time, and people are all around, crowds and dancing and rejoicing. They're seeing this 75-foot tall candelabra, four of them burning with lights and gallons of oil. And it is so bright it can be seen 30, 40 miles away, because Jerusalem was to be the city set on a hill. And Jesus stands with that framework, that possibility, that picture clear to them. And he goes, I am the light of the world. And they go, that's a radical dude. And he is. He came to shine the light. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They're afraid to expose it. John 12:35, Jesus said, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Jesus says, guys, he's talking to the group around him. He says, you better start moving in the right direction, because soon I'm going to be leaving, and you better walk here while you got the light, because the light's here to shine all over you, and now's your opportunity to come to God. How many of you know that it might not be much longer before everything wraps up? We say that in every generation, and it's truer today than it ever was. Jesus is coming back. Come on, Jesus is coming back. Say it again, Jesus is coming back. Say it again, Jesus is coming back. Merry Christmas. He's coming back. The light he brought to shine all over us about the truth and righteousness. And Jesus said, I came to save the lost for God. Jesus' words, watch them. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He says, here's my purpose. Here's my destiny. Here's why I came. What is it about Jesus Christ? He's telling us himself. Here's why I came. Man is lost like a ship adrift on a sea, but the whole rest of the crew is down in the hull having a party. But the ship is adrift on the sea. Zacchaeus, you remember him? Zacchaeus, the tax man, the minister of taxes, if you will, doesn't care who sees him. He's just so hungry, he wants to see Jesus. Jesus calls him out of a tree, and with joy he scampers out of that tree, this little guy, and he goes to dine with Jesus. Salvation comes to his house because he went to receive Jesus. And then because of that, he says, oh, listen, I know I've stolen. I'll restore fourfold. 400% I'll pay people back that I have taken money from. And that was according to the law. So the redemption was proven by how he then chose to live. See that you need a doctor. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know, I came to save the needy, those who know they need him, those who need a great physician. If you're well, you don't need me. I'm saying to you this morning, besides the fact it's cold, I see some of you bundling up. Are the doors closed? Do we need to close the doors back there? Anyway, how many know you thank God for the great physician who came to heal your life and mine? That's what he came to do. Being saved begins by knowing that you're lost without him. Church, I can tell you, I was lost without Jesus. Went to church every Sunday and couldn't stand it. I was the youngest of three. My grandfather was a pastor. I have pastors and ministers all down through the ages in my family. And I was the one who couldn't care. And when I got saved, all of a sudden church made sense. But boy, the pastor said amen, and I was on my way out the door like a bullet. I didn't want to be there. But Jesus changed me and showed me I needed a great physician. And I needed light in the darkness. And I needed some truth where I was proving that error was my way of life. I thank God that on Christmas morning, what is it about Jesus Christ? He's my Redeemer, my Savior. He's the one who is the greatest gift of all. What else did he come to do? He came to pay the ransom to God. Jesus came to pay the ransom. Mark 10. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, sin and death have kidnapped humanity. They've taken. The devil has trapped people in sin. And they hold humanity for ransom. God requires a price. Because the punishment of sin is death. Death hath passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But Jesus came to pay that price. And watch, it says in the book of Acts, the church which he purchased with his own blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no taking away of sins. Aren't you glad Jesus shed his blood so you and I don't have to? Come on, maybe it's basic this morning, but we're taking a look at what Jesus said about why he came. What is it about Jesus Christ? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served again, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What is it about Jesus? What did he say? I come to serve the will of God. I came to speak the truth of God. I've come to sum up the law of God. I have come to shine the light of God. I've come to save the lost for God, one we didn't go into depth on. I've come to serve the judgment of God. We'll save that for another time. But how many are glad the judgment of God went on Jesus and not on you? Come on, church. How many are glad you don't have to bear your own punishment? Thank God. And I've come to pay the ransom to God. And I'm going to give you one more. I've come to give life more abundantly. I've come to give life more abundantly. The thief doesn't come but except to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. Is that where you're living today? Celebrate Christmas as you go from this place today. I know I could have talked about the baby in the manger again, but we've been there. We understand that. But I think it's important for us to take a fresh look at Jesus, who he is, what he did, and why. And as you celebrate this day, as you go this day, and you're with family, your friends, maybe quietly on your own at home, let the greatest joy of your life be the love Jesus has given to you. And give back your love to him. What a great gift. The greatest gift of all. It was December 4th, 1977, and some of you know James Dobson. On that afternoon, his mother and his father, it's a true story, attended a birthday party for his sister. And his dad held a baby briefly, and then he was asked to pray for the meal. And this was a dedicated man of God who'd been called to preach 42 years earlier and given his life to the Lord earlier than that. But he spoke that prayer over that meal that day. And then he leaned gently into James Dobson's mother's arms and passed away. The last words he spoke were words of grace and thanksgiving to Jesus in prayer. He was greeted by the Lord that day. James Dobson's mom, as it's wont to happen, if you've ever lost a spouse, you would know, and if you've lost someone you know, felt deep, painful loneliness. She came to see the Dobsons at California for Christmas, and they all grieved together over the empty chair that sat there at the table where Dad would have sat. It was almost unbearable. But before he passed, Dad bought a gift for Mom. It was not given after his death, it was given before he died. And it was the cutest little boy terrier named Benji. And Benji became her constant source of companionship and comfort in the hardest months of loneliness. The little dog Benji worshipped his master. On that fateful morning, he saw Dobson's mother and father get into their car and drive away. And at the end of the time, when the return came, only one came back. And he was perplexed. And they could tell, even as a little dog, that little dog was lonely and confused. And he would stand at the top of the stairs with his little ears erect as the sun was going down each afternoon at the same time when Dad would return. And he would bound into Dad's arms and he just would stand there for months waiting. He was looking at the garage door, just hoping it would open and his master would return. And Benji and his mom grieved together and comforted one another. Several months later, James Thompson went to help Mom pack Dad's clothes, and he pulls out a suitcase and puts the suitcase on the bed and began arranging and folding coats and sweaters, and he realized all of a sudden he was intently being watched by a little dog named Benji. Benji then jumped on the bed, walked slowly over to the case, and then he stepped right into it. He sniffed every item of clothing, and then he curled up on top of them and went to sleep. 11 years later, his mother passed, and now we know Mom and Dad are together celebrating. But you see, when you give your life to Jesus, when you know His presence, you know His fragrance, you know what He feels like and what He smells like. Jesus went to His Father and He said, I'm coming again for you. I am returning and I'll be back. But His people gather together on Sunday morning because we come to see Him, to know Him, and to remind each other about Him. If you will, we open up a giant suitcase and crawl in on the King's clothing because we smell Him and we want to see Him. I don't know how long my life or yours in this earth will last, but I do know when I pass, I'll see Jesus. And if you've surrendered your life to Him, so will you. Aren't you glad? The good news is, say it with me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One more thing, say it with me. Thank God I get to be Benji. Would you stand with me, musicians? Will you come? What is it about Jesus Christ? What is it about Him? We treasure Him. We love Him. He's God's gift to us. We're going to finish one more time with, if you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, I pray that you sense how close He is to you. If you've not given your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. As you go today, go and celebrate. Have a great time. But remember, first of all, Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Is He not? Lord, we're so grateful for You, for all that You have done for us. We pray, O God, that You will bless Your people as they go from this place to know that You're everything. You're the greatest gift of all. What is it about Jesus? King of kings, Lord of lords, the Messiah, You're everything. We thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You came. Now we bless Your people in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Would you raise your hands, please, for the blessing? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you.